Good morning. How are you doing? Good. As Drew had mentioned, we have had just a great week at Falls Creek. Lindsay and I count it a blessing to be able to go and to serve alongside of the adults and to just get to know and love on the students. And I can tell you with great confidence that these students, as they abide and pursue the Lord with their lives, He will use them to do great and mighty things. These are some great students, and we can have confidence in Him. It was we got to see several come to the Lord, as He mentioned, others who are following Him and sense that calling upon their life. And so what a great opportunity that we get to walk alongside of them. We get to encourage, disciple, and help prepare them for what God has. And so really the work has just begun. But we are excited, and so thank you so much for allowing us to go and be a part. I know he mentioned it, but in watching the cooks, I mean, they get up early, begin cooking, and they, as soon as they're done cleaning, they are preparing for the next meal, and it is a week of work. And so I am so thankful for each of you who came and cooked. You guys worked so hard, and so thank you so much. I tell you. And they don't just cook meals just so that we have something to eat. I mean, it is above and beyond, and so I'm so grateful. Last week we began a discussion. We began with a question, and the question that we must ask is, what does it mean, or what does it look like to be a follower of Christ? What is our identity in Christ, and how do we pursue that? It is very important that we have a clear picture of that, because otherwise we will look around and we'll base it upon each other. And if we do that, then we will become complacent, because we'll see that we're doing what everyone else is doing. And so we must have a clear picture of where we're headed. And the thing that I have realized is that I will never reach the destination I'm supposed to go to if I'm going in the wrong direction. Does that make sense? So you and I must have a clear picture of where the Lord is wanting us to go and how we're going to get there. We started off last week as Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, he was challenged them to be cautious and to look and to be warned at the Israelites and their example. And he says, don't be like them in idolatry and pursuing the things around them or taking their eyes off of Jesus. And we followed them and how they had everything from the Lord. He had chosen them. He had His presence was with them. He led them. They experienced the cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. They had walked through the Red Sea. They'd experienced His provision and the manna throughout. And yet they did not trust Him. And so when they came to the Jordan to go in, they had sent spies. They retreated from the mission that God had given them. You and I, in our walks with Christ, we are in a similar position, I believe, right now. In America, in the United States, we are one of the only countries where the church is actually declining right now. And I believe it is because we have retreated from the clear mission that God has given us. And that is not to go in and to claim a land, but it is to go in and proclaim the King. And so you and I, somewhere along the line, the church has made this the center of what we do. And as long as we come to this, then we have done our duty. As long as we are obedient, we give some, we continue to get into a Bible study to where we learn more, and we've made that the end product, instead of fulfilling the mission that He has given us. And so, one of the things that I want to do as a church is to dive into the Word of God with the question of, who are you calling me to be? Because I have, think about this, you yourself, if this next generation, these who just gave their lives to the Lord, or if the Christians that are around us, if they live their life as a follower of Christ like you, like if that was the standard in which we are to live as a follower of Christ, would there be any hope to the ends of the earth? If the next generation, if they just followed you and they did what you did, they saw what you did, would there be hope for Skytook and the lost here? That's a weighty question. You see, like the Israelites, God has also chosen you. And similar to the Israelites, or even more so, his presence just isn't with you like he was the Israelites, but he is in you. You know, there are, you think through as you read stories of the Bible, you're like, man, it'll be awesome when we get to heaven. We can ask them questions, right? Like Daniel, what really happened in the lion's den? You know, I mean, was there an angel that like literally held the lion's mouth shut? Or, you know, were you, what happened in there? Or, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, when you were thrown into the fire and you realized you weren't being burned, I mean, were you guys like high-fiving and chest bumping? I mean, what were you guys doing? And then, was that Jesus with you in there? I mean, just to ask them some of those questions. Or like Elijah, okay, when you pulled up your lawn chair and were calling out to those other prophets and like, you know, hey, where's your God? Is he relieving yourself? Or, you know, and then fire came down from heaven and burned all. I mean, what was it? What was their reaction? And then I wonder if they would gather around you. Man, come on. What was it like to have the Spirit of God in you each day? What was it like to walk and to abide in Jesus so much so that he was living in and through you? I mean, would we even be able to answer that question? You see, we must seek to understand what it is that he is calling us to. He has given us himself, and he has given us a mission, one in which we are called to walk with and walk in faith. You see, there are situations that we find ourselves in life, and it really doesn't require faith to go to work and to come home each day. It really doesn't require faith to come to church. It doesn't require faith to go to Bible study. But it does require faith to be obedient to the mission that he has given us. And so you and I, as men and women of faith, men and women who have been set apart and called by God Almighty, our lives should look like that of Jesus. And we must pursue him. So, if you have your Bibles, open with me to Joshua chapter 1. Last week, we looked at the Israelites as an example of people who have retreated from the mission. They find themselves back at the Jordan, getting ready to go in, but this time, they're going to go in obedience to the Lord's command and his mission. And so, as we look at their example, we will look at their example of what God will do with the people who will be obedient. And so in honor of the word of God, if you would stand with me as we read. Joshua chapter 1, we will start in verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them and to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Father, we bow before you, and we are completely dependent upon you. Help us to be reminded that apart from you, we can do nothing. Help us to know that without you, there is no way that we can fulfill the mission that you have given us. And so we thank you so much that you are right here. Help us to be reminded of that and to acknowledge that and to behold the greatness of your glory. And so, God, we ask that we'd leave here changed, encouraged, challenged because of who you are and what and your promises that you have given us. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. Last week we looked at how when the Israelites retreated from the mission that God had given them, he was faithful. He did not send them back to Egypt to be enslaved again, but what he did was he caused them to wander until they died. I believe in the same way, if we are not careful, having retreated from the mission, he was faithful. He will not send us to hell. No one can take us from his hand, but what he may do is cause us to wander and miss his presence in the midst of our life. And I'm fearful of that. Paul over and over challenged in his writings to fight the good fight of the faith, to endure with perseverance, that even as persecution comes, that God is with them and will strengthen them. And the same is true for us. This life that he has called us to is one that is very difficult. It is one that will require faith. It is one that we will need the grace of God to help us endure. And he is there. And so as we look through these verses, I want to challenge you to see with a new set of eyes and also an eyes of examining yourself so that you and I can begin to live this life that he has called us to, and that's one of repentance. We must learn to be men and women who are repenting. And we are repenters, constantly repenting from the things that he shows us that does not line up according to his word, or areas of thought, or even patterns of thought that we've allowed to become a part of our lives. And so, the first thing that I want us to see is, for Joshua, there was a reality that was real to him in that moment. And so, for you and I, we must identify and accept the reality of right now. So for Joshua, Moses was dead. He had just died. Now think about this. This was his mentor. This was the one who had led the people. He had saw Moses do and how God had used Moses and spoke directly to him, just like a friend. Joshua, in many cases, was right there with him. Having gone up to the mount to receive the tablets, Joshua was there. Even times we can see where when Moses would go to the tent to meet with God, sometimes Joshua would remain there, not leaving the tent, because he too wanted to be in the presence of God. And so for Joshua, there was a reality that was real. He had been with them as they wandered in the wilderness for the last 40 years. This was a reality for Joshua and this people. And so what is reality for you? Have you been wandering? Have you just been going through the motions? Have you been someone that in many ways has been tossed by the wind and the culture of change, especially this last year and a half? Man, it's been crazy. Has that affected your faithfulness or even faith and trust in God as all these things have taken place? We have to identify reality. We're called to examine ourselves. And so what is reality for you? The second thing that we see here is that we must, and a challenge to us, we must remember the promises of God. God has given some great promises to the people of Israel. He told them that he has a land, a promised land that they would have. And so when they came to the Jordan to go in, they forgot the promises, or at least didn't trust God that he would fulfill those promises through them. Remember, they went in or sent spies in, and there were giants in there. And they said, the cities are fortified. There's no way that we can take the land in which you have promised. But here is a different place. Now Joshua has to make a decision. Is he going to trust in the promises that God is going to be with him and that God has promised him the land? The same is true for you and I. You see, there are some great promises that he has given us. Promises like the gates of hell will not prevail over the church. Promises is that you and I have an eternity with him. Promises that even if the worst that man can do to us is kill us. I think of Paul as he's imprisoned. When they would come to Paul and they'd be like, Paul, you need to quit preaching Jesus or we're going to beat you. And him go, you mean I get to suffer as my Jesus? Or when they came, no, you quit preaching or we're going to kill you. You mean I get to go and be with my Jesus finally? I mean, what do you do with a guy like that, right? But when we have the eternal perspective of who God is and the promises that he has given us, what can man do to us? There's not anything. And so we must honor him and remember the promises that he's given us. The promises for our kids, the promise that he has for us who believe that everything works for the good of those who love him. And so even the hard moments, the difficult times, we can then come with the perspective, okay, you say you're going to use this for ultimately for my good and for your glory, and so I'm going to look to you. I'm going to endure. I'm going to call to you. I'm going to trust you even as I go through this loss or I go through this hard time or I go through this failure. Whatever it is, we can trust that God is going to use it and one day get glory from it. That is great promises that we can hold on to and endure. Joshua knew that he was going to need the power of God. And so as he goes in, it wasn't going to be in his might that he took the people, but it was going to be in the promises of God. So he had to trust him, and the same is true for us. The third thing that we need to believe, and he actually told Joshua over and over, is that we are to be strong and courageous. Now, that sounds like something that we decide, right? I'm going to be strong, or I'm going to be courageous. And there is an element of that. But when we see it in the perspective of who God is that he has all authority, and that he can do all things. It's not that hard to trust in a God like that. You see, as believers, we have got to get to a point where we are truly beholding our God and being reminded of his greatness and of his power. When we start to look upon ourselves, we see weakness. We see sinfulness. But when we look upon God and we see his greatness, then we can trust, we can be strong and courageous because of who he is. So then when he calls us to do something, we can say, I don't understand how this is going to happen, but I know you said it. And so because you said it, let's go. Let's go. God, I'm weak, but you know me. You know my weaknesses. I mean, even Paul says, I will boast of my weakness because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. When I'm reminded of my weaknesses, I'm reminded of my need for Jesus, so I will cling to him all the more. We live in a culture who is, you can be anything you want to be. That is counter-Christian because we are called not to be who we want to be, but we are called to surrender our life. I mean, you have been bought for. You are dead. We were reminded this morning in Bible study where one of the men in there, a great challenge by Michael, he was just like, we must die daily. When we're talking with our wives, we must die to the right to be right. We must die to ourselves. I mean, that is the life of, you are dead. Now we are to let Christ live through us. We must do that. We must understand that. So we must be strong and courageous. Doubt or lack of faith will come in every area. Maybe marriage, it may be sin that you are dealing with. There may be doubt that you can overcome that. There may be doubt that God can give you enough power to endure through it. Whatever it may be, we must understand and we can be strong and courageous because of him. He actually says this four times. Look at verse 6 with me. He says, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land. Verse 7, he says, only be strong and very courageous. Verse 9 says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. And then a verse that we didn't read, but on down in verse 18, he actually says it again, only be strong and courageous. We must understand that God has called us to be strong and courageous, not just because we have anything to offer or do, but because of who he is and the promises that he's already given. That's great encouragement. We must look to that and remember that. It's almost like he knew that we would be fearful. It is said, and I have not looked these up so I can say that it is said, but it is said that in the Bible there are some 365, right around there, depending upon the translation, where it says, do not fear or do not be frightened. If it says it that many times, he knows that that's going to be something that we struggle with. But I want to tell you, there is not one thing that God will call you to do where it will not be an element of fear. Because everything that he has called us to do requires faith. And it requires faith because we don't know the outcome of it. You may be persecuted, you may be ridiculed, you may be whatever it is, but it will require faith to do the things that God has called us to do. This is why he reminds us. This is why even in the Great Commission, when he says, go and make disciples of all nations, he reminds us of his presence right there with us. Just as he did Joshua. I am with you. Go, be strong, great, I am with you. I'll be with you wherever you go. No one will be able to, wherever you set your foot, I'm going to give you. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. The Great Commission that he's given us is the same. Go and make disciples. And as you're making disciples, you're going to teach them to obey the things that I have commanded you. You're going to baptize in the name of the Father and Son. But listen, I'm going to be with you. That's great courage. That should bring encouragement to us, to where we can do what he's called us to do because of his power and his might, his authority, not our own. But every time it will be in the realm of fear. Tinley, our youngest, has always been kind of a daredevil. It doesn't matter if she's jumping into the pool or off of something high. I can say, Tinley, jump, and she's going to jump. If it's off of a diving board, even when she was really little, barely able to walk, if I was in the water and I said, okay, Tinley, jump, she would just, okay, and jump. You know why? It's because I've never dropped her. Now, Anley, we had an incident with a hammock one time, and so that's a little different. But for Tinley, I've never dropped her. And for you and for me, as we step out in obedience, when God is saying, all right, jump, we can just jump knowing that he is faithful. He is a father that will never drop. He will never have a hammock issue. He will never, you know what I mean? He is a God who is faithful. And so we can trust him. Another thing is that we need to obey God's commands. This is so crucial for our walks with the Lord. We must be obedient. This is how he sanctifies us. This is how he uses us and teaches us that we are weak, is by when we step out in faith, he reminds us of our weakness. Now think about this with Joshua. Joshua stands at the Jordan getting ready to go over. He walks out and the Jordan walls up just like it did at the Red Sea. They're able to walk on dry land. You know, Joshua didn't look back at Israel and be like, you guys see what I just did right there? I mean, I walked out there, man, I threw that staff down and the water just went up, you know? No, there was no way he could boast in that. Or even when they went over and Jericho was there and he walked around Jericho, you know, 13 times total, one time for 6 days and on the seventh, and walked around it and on that seventh day and the walls fell, he didn't go up to those trumpet players and be like, man, did you see what you just did when you blew that note right there? Or he didn't go to the other people and be like, man, you're all yells and cheers. It caused those walls just to fall. Man, good job. No. When we are obedient to the Lord and step out in faith, God is faithful to do the things that only God can do. You know, I want to tell you, this week at Falls Creek, Heath did a great job preaching God's word. A great job. But Heath did not save anybody. You see, when we step out in obedience to do what he's called us to do, as Heath did, in faithfully preaching the word of God, God moves and does things that only can be explained by him. That ought to be our prayer. Lord, here I am. I don't have anything to offer. You know it better than anybody. But I'm willing. I'll be obedient. Whatever you have for me, let's go. Because I want to experience a power to do something that can only be explained by you. We must be willing. This morning in our Bible study, we were in Philemon. And in Philemon, verse 6, he says, I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that we have in Christ. You see, in sharing our faith and proclaiming what Jesus, who he is, we are reminded of our need for him. We are reminded that he is the one who saves, and we are reminded of the joy that is found in being a part of him. And so we must be obedient to what he has called us to. We must be a part of this. For some of us, as we obey the commands of God, we must be reminded that he commands us also to change. Some of us in this room have been involved in things in our lives, and we've allowed distractions to come in. We have allowed things like porn or lust or unrepentant sin to be present in the midst of our lives. We must be obedient to the commands. 1 John, man, is so such a good read just in the way of evaluation of your life. In chapter 2, verse 3, it says, "And by this we know that we have come to know him. By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word in him, truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked." Talking about Jesus. If you claim to know him, but yet do not obey his commands, John tells you you're a liar. Now listen, we have seasons of time where we may allow things to come. We may allow distractions to be there. But our heart should be that I am not, that everything that I'm going to do is going to be to obey the commands of my God. And this is what he told Joshua here. In verse 8, he says this. He says, in verse 7, he says, "Be careful to do according to all that the law of Moses, my servant, command you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." You see, we are to do the word of God. In other words, as the word of God comes to our life, as we're reading it, spending time with the Lord, or we're hearing it preached, we must be obedient to it. Otherwise, it's like looking at yourself in the mirror and walking away and having forgotten what you've just seen. We must understand who it is that we are speaking, who is speaking to us. When we stand in honor of the word of God, it's because we know that what is read or is taught is not coming from a man on stage, but is coming from God. Now, listen, if I ever start interjecting things that the Word does not say, then you better come talk to me. Because the last thing I ever want you to do is follow a man. I want you to follow the God Almighty and trust in Him and His power. And so we must look to it and do according to what He says. Because if we don't have a mission, we're just wandering. We're just wandering. We may have a good spin upon this culture. We may have cleaned ourselves up a little bit, and at least I don't do some of the sins that those people do. But where's the power of God to do things? Where's the faith that trusts in Him to do what only He can do? Fifth thing, we see is that we must anticipate God's biblical success. Here he says, and I love the way he said this, is he says that as we uphold the word, as we're obedient to it, we're not turning to the right or to the left, but keeping it upon our mouth and upon our lips and meditate on it day and night. He says that you may be careful to do all that it says then, for then you will make your way prosperous. You will make your way prosperous. That's pretty awesome right there. I'm not at all saying it's dependent upon you, but what I'm saying is that there is a mystery involved in this, and it does require a responsibility for you and I to obey the commands of God. And in obeying the commands of God, we will then experience the promises that he has promised, because if he says it, it is true. And so by you and I being obedient to what he has called us to do, he says that we will be prosperous in his will and in his plan, because that's ultimately what we are being obedient to. I love that. He tells Joshua, listen, you can go on in to this land that I've promised you, and you're going to be prosperous as long as you're being obedient to my word and to my law, because I've promised it to you. I've spoken it. You and I can be confident. We can be strong and courageous as we fulfill this mission of proclaiming him to the ends of the earth, because he has promised it. We can trust him. So we can anticipate his blessing. Last thing I want us to see. We must trust his power and his presence. He says in verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. As they went in and began to conquer the land, it didn't come without times of struggle. It wasn't too long into the process where someone took it upon himself to take and disobey God of what he had told them to do. He kept things for himself. And so they go up to Ai, which was a small group of people, and they didn't even send the whole army. They just sent in just a few thousand to go take care of it real quick, and so the rest of them could have a time of rest, and they were defeated. You know why? Because there was sin in the camp. Sometimes we sin and we think that it doesn't affect anyone else. As a body, your sin affects all of us. That is why the greatest way that we can love each other is to hold each other to the Word of God and go in love, to reconcile, to talk to make sure, to lift up, to encourage, to spur one another on to love and good deeds. And so for you and I to fulfill this mission, we must constantly be reminded of how faithful our God is. We must constantly be reminded of when things or distractions come into our life, or when we start running after something that is not godly. We must be reminded of that and must call each other to repent. And so we trust his power. We proclaim, we go out, we share, we love, we send. We go on missions. We do things in our community. We are willing to go to our neighbor. We're willing to love those who we don't necessarily like. We're willing to reach out to sinners, even though they sin, even though they have a lifestyle of sin. We invite them over and show them love and hospitality for the sake of the kingdom. And so you and I must trust in the power of God, because otherwise we will just trust in ourselves. And when we do that, we will get our results. And so I want to tell you, church, as you trust in the power of Jesus and what he has done, we can confidently know that our sin has been paid for. Some of us in this room are so worried about being obedient to Jesus because of the past that we have. Listen, there is not one of us in this room who doesn't have past sin. And I'll tell you that your past sin does not disqualify you from the future obedience. So obey him. Use him. Listen, lay down your pride and humbly proclaim what he's overcome in your life. Listen, if there's been sin, even if it's been recent, it may mean that you are repentant of that, maybe even publicly, to the point so that he can get glory. brokenness. Listen, I was distracted and I allowed this sin to come in and it almost cost me everything. But Jesus came and in love and didn't leave me in that sin. And so I come to you repentant and broken and I apologize for the sin that has been there, but we must stay focused to the mission that he has given us and go and proclaim this king because he is great and he is mighty. And there are people that are sinners like that, and apart from him, will not experience this love and this forgiveness that we have. Church, we must understand that he is a God who has a plan. And it's not just for First Baptist Skytook. It is for the world. And it is until you and I humble ourselves, surrender everything to him, my pride, my name, my image, everything before the Lord, to where we lay it all upon the table and say, all of it is for you and for your glory. My decisions, my brokenness, my sin, it's all for you. What do you want to do with it? I can't go back, but I can make sure it doesn't happen again. And so we trust him and we look to him and we allow him to use. And so in the way of application, I'm asking you as a church, as an individual, each person sitting in this room, are you willing? Will you be willing to risk everything for the sake of this mission? Will you be willing to lay down your pride, your arrogance, your own strength and power, whatever it is, and say, God, here I am, upon your altar to use in whatever way you want to use it? And in that, will you repent from the sin of disobedience to the mission? Will you repent today? Some of us, if I'm honest, we need to come before the Lord and just say, God, I have been lazy. God, I have looked to and trusted in your forgiveness. I know that I am yours, but I have not been obedient to have faith in you, to proclaim you to others. Some of us in this room need to repent from some sin that we've allowed to be there and we've not done anything with. Others of us, will you commit to spending time with Jesus daily? Listen, if there is one goal that I would give you each and every day is to make sure that you spend time with Jesus. Because if you do that, just naturally, he will start. This is why he commanded Joshua to have the word of God upon his heart. It is the truth that impacts. It is the truth that comes in and transforms. It is the proclamation of that truth that continues to do that and sanctify us, because it is really hard to proclaim truth when we have sin in our lives. And so we must be active in this mission. Number three, there's some of us in this room, like these students who have said yes to Jesus this week. Today may be the day of salvation. Listen, he loves you. Your sin separates you from God, and he has not left you in that situation. He has sent his son to die in your place, who was sinless, did not deserve anything, but yet died in your place. And he tells us that if we would believe in him and what he has done, and that we would repent from the life that we have lived and trust in Jesus and believe in him, that he will make us brand new, forgiving us of our sin, giving us eternal life, calling us a child of God, a part of his kingdom. Will you say yes today? If at Falls Creek this week, just in the way of making that decision public and trusting in him, not being ashamed of him, if you gave your life to the Lord this week at Falls Creek, would you stand right where you're at? Amen. Thank you guys so much. You can see. If you surrendered to ministry or something, missions or ministry, if you would stand up, just kind of make that public. Amen. As followers of Christ, we must be willing to do or go wherever he calls us to go. Last thing in the way of application, will you get involved and serve here at First Baptist Skytook? When people come, guests come, when people from the community come to church, there ought to be a barrage of people who are willing to just love them, help them, welcome them, come to them. You don't even have to know who guests are. We should be doing that to each other anyway. Other areas of ministry that we have is areas of kids or youth, serving alongside of these youth. Whatever the case is, but just a willingness to say, I'm willing to be used by God with whatever he has. I want to challenge you. As we abide in him, as we trust in him, he will lead us and show us what we're to do. As Drew comes to close us out, I want to ask you to get before the Lord. And as you do, to examine your life, to accept reality. What is the reality in your life? Have you been lazy? Have you strayed from him? Have you been wandering? But to remember his promises, the promises that he has given and spoken to our lives, to be strong and courageous, not because of anything you have to offer, but because of the greatness and the power of our God. To be obedient to the commands that he has clearly given us. As a follower of Christ, one thing we know is we are commanded to go. We are commanded to make disciples. Who are you discipling? You see, this is a question we must be asking ourselves. Who am I handing off to? Who am I proclaiming to? Who am I right now intentionally building a relationship for the sake of the gospel? When we're obedient to him, we can anticipate his blessings. We can anticipate his power and his presence. If you're here this morning, and that's you, you're saying, man, I know I have not been obedient to the commands that he has given. Then I'll just tell you, it will not change until you surrender to it. It will not change until you decide, God, whatever you want, I'm going to be willing to do. It will not decide until you start asking the question, Lord, who can I reach out to? If you're here this morning, and as I was mentioning, like some of these students at Falls Creek, you're saying, that's me. I know I'm a sinner. Listen, that definitely was not hard for me to grab a hold of when I was 16. It was evident in my life. And the wages of that sin is death, meaning that you and I deserve hell. But God, in his great love for you, even while you were a sinner, he sent Christ to die in your place. Would you be willing to say yes to him today? If that's you, just in the way of making that public, in the way of saying, I'm not ashamed, I know this is the call that he has upon me, and I want to give my life to Christ. Would you just say, that's me. I want to give my life to Christ right now. I want to be forgiven of my sin. I want to trust in him. Would you just lift your hand right now? I know people are looking, but listen, if you can't be bold enough to stand in front of other believers, how in the world are we going to be bold enough to stand out in the world? How many would say, I want to give my life to the Lord right now? I want to be forgiven of my sin. I know I'm a sinner. I want to trust in what Jesus has done in my place. Anybody? Just real quick. Raise your hand. Say, that's me. Well, if you would stand as Drew leads us. And let's lift up the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father, we love you so much. We ask, Lord, that you would lead us, that you would guide us, help us to be obedient to your word. I pray that from this morning you would begin to help us to repent from the ways that we have been living that are not obedient to your truth. Show us, open our eyes to see the people around us that we can begin to reach out to and love on. Help us to be men and women who are proclaimers of you, and that we would live out this mission that you have given us. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray.